Amen. There is a young, there is a man. A brother of mine, I believe you are hearing me wherever you are now. You may be now. That sent me, will I call it a sermon? The speaker calls it an information. He's going around talking to Christians, going to churches, Christian Association of Nigeria, PFN, and talking to Christians. And the man is a very wonderful speaker. In fact, he was sweeping me off by what I was hearing him say. Well, I thanked the person that sent it to me and told him my comment. And he quickly sent me a text. He said, it is a sensitive matter. Oh, I should be careful because he knows I will go on air and talk. And I will talk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The man is speaking everywhere. He was even a member of the national conference that just took place. And he said he made his presentation there and tried to prove or let us be informed of the of a Muslim agenda to Islamize Africa. I don't know how many people have heard that message. You heard it. Some of you have, you heard the man speak. I don't know the name of the man. Amen. And it is so serious, it's so emotional over it, and is busy, you know, trying to tell us to be watchful of an agenda that is going on and the need for Christians to also come together. But I was actually watching what is his remedy for it. And I'm happy he said the remedy is prayer. The remedy is prayer. And he's busy saying how it is important that we vote a Christian president and a Christian governor for Lagos State. And how, you know, amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you know when you are speaking at that level, it is another realm of politics. Amen. Because the truth is, those you call Christians, are they Christians? But that is one side. That's not where I am going. The presentation is so wonderful and is very eye-opening and very educative, very informative. For us to watch that something is going on. But I am sorry, that type of talk is only going to end up dividing the country. Religion is a very sensitive matter. And whatever anybody that wants to go into politics, you don't enter into politics and go there and not be a nationalist. A nationalist does not approach politics from a sectional view. A nationalist goes and embraces everyone and tries to bring together the things that divide. Once you go with that type of talk, you are heating up the polity, you are creating enmity, you are creating division in a country. And it is wrong. 2015, If we are going there as Christian and Muslim, then be ready for trouble. Because if a Christian wins, Muslim will fight. If a Muslim wins, Christians will fight with what they have been indoctrinated with. It is wrong. Any nationalist should be preaching one man, one vote. One man, allow the votes to speak. That you should, we should let your vote count. That is the language of nationalists. And let these warmongers stop parading themselves and using Bible to create problem for us. That is wrong. That's very wrong. I disagree with the man. I'm telling you, you listen to it. People who are not informed, you will follow it. We are supposed to be nationalists. Politics is, yes, about, you know, pursuing your interests. But whatever interest you pursue, it should not be at the detriment of the peace of the country. It is wrong. I wish some pressman can come and interview me and let me talk to them too. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. As sweet as it sounds, it is wrong. You are creating, and he speaks like that. If it were a Muslim man that was speaking like that, SSS will arrest him. He's speaking like that and he's still moving about free. If it's a patriotic nation, he should be arrested. That man should be arrested. He's trying to create problems. I'm telling you, listen, the people you are fighting have no value for life. So when such people speak like that, you are putting the rest of us Christians in jeopardy, our lives. People should be going to preach to let them know that it is wrong to take lives and things like that. And if you know that there is a Muslim agenda, then when they were doing their own agenda to take over the Africa and take over Nigeria, did they go about making it public? No. Why do you want to counter it and you are making it public? It's politics. If you know that this is what they are planning, then let those who matter in Christianity also set up their own and counter it. As secret as those people are also doing their own. I agree with him that they have an agenda, of course, it is true. That is their own way of spreading their faith. We too, we have our own plans of evangelizing. For everybody to believe our own. Unfortunately, they are doing their own the violent way. But if you are going to counter them, then you don't go public like that. I say, wait, those that matter will be holding secret meetings and put their own agenda and put their people in places, knowing what they are to do. Whoever knows, you know there are Illuminatis. Whoever knows the agenda they are doing, and yet they are everywhere. All their interests protected. If you are not with them, you can never be in power. Do they go about publishing it anywhere? But if you don't belong, you can't be in certain offices. Why should Christian own be going there and they be preaching? I'm saying it because the whole world will hear. They will hear me. Praise the Lord. Now, this is my reservation about that. There is nowhere in the Bible that God tells us to watch the Muslims. There is nowhere in the Bible that God, through any prophet, said we should watch the Muslims. problem that God has in the whole world, amen, is not the Arabs and their religion. Let me tell you, that's why it's good to know Bible. That spirit, Islamic spirit, has been taken care of. It's in the Bible without Islam mentioned there. It will be taken care of and it will end in Ezekiel 38:39. That war there will end Islam. So God knows that that is not where you should watch. Where you should watch. Hey, the person is carrying Bible. You have to watch the Antichrist. That is what the problem is. Listen, whoever that man is and you heard him, let him hear me now. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail. So what are you afraid of? Who can defeat God in a battlefield? Who can stop a program of God? Who can stop Christianity on earth? Nothing. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. I am too informed by the word of God to be shaken by what is an Islamic agenda when I know where they are ending. But there is one that will not end like that. That is the one we are watching. See, there was a time, this same kind of people that were speaking in the time of communism. Everybody say, hey, communism, hey, hey, hey. Because communism had no place for religion. Don't talk about God. They don't even mention God. They say, hey. And everybody was talking, everybody, God. Listen, God raised communism. It is God that raised communism to deal with Romanism. People don't know. They hated Christianity because of what the Roman church did in Europe. So it was in retaliation. He said, don't make, if that is what you people call God, God. If this is how God is, we don't want that God. Therefore, don't mention God. Don't bring God into our matter. Nothing more than that. And when they finish that agenda, they are off now. Where is communism today? It's dead. And yet, the Antichrist is tankakaraka, spreading his tentacles and going up and down. So our prayer is for protection against the dangers around, which include what those serpent seeds are doing in the north there, creating fear everywhere. Pray against all the crimes, armed robbery, ritual killing, and all these vices. And in Nigeria, they have their root from corruption. It wouldn't have reached this dimension if it were not for the corrupt leadership that we have. If one man will use biro and paper and take billions, what do you want a hungry man to do to survive? That's the problem of Nigeria. Praise the Lord. I felt I should make that comment because many of you may have had that thing. It is, in a normal country, that man will be jailed. I'm telling you, that man will be jailed because he's inciting the people against themselves. Let somebody tell him to stop that nonsense. Praise the Lord. Okay, I don't finish that comment. I want to talk a little bit today. Can I? Amen. I don't know whether that brother, I don't know whether you gave, you said, somebody sent me a text, say I should sing him 202 for him. Did anybody sing it today? That song says, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. Maybe you're not here, maybe you are watching us from somewhere. Is the person here? You say I should sing it today. Can we stand up? That's the reason we are here. We'll sing him 202. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. That's why we are here, to pray.
Jesus can help.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. That's why we are here. He alone can help us. That's why we are not in a shrine tonight. We have come to call upon His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Fear not. He's in charge. He's in charge. Nobody can defeat the purpose of God. God has never lost a battle. Over His program, over you as an individual, He has never lost a battle. Amen. I'm telling you, even with all that is going on there, the Boko Haram and things like that, I'm telling you, if you look at the casualties, the Muslims, their own brothers, are more in number now. They just go to marketplaces. Now, and who are those that die there? Are the same Muslim people. So that you will know that it is not just religion, it is something else entirely. Praise God. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. And let me quickly tell you that because you hold Bible and a Boko Haram man shoot you, say you're a Christian, does not mean you will go to heaven because of that. Oh, I hope you know that. How you die, by which means you die, does not attract sympathy from God, so that you say, since it is because they go to church, let me then kill you, therefore come to heaven. Now lie, oh. Ha. What this does is, it makes you to be ready. Ever ready, since I don't know how and when it will happen. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure, if they get you at all, you have the Holy Ghost. It's true. Make sure you are a Christian, if you have to die. But one thing is, we believe we will not die cockroach death. Amen. The evidence of crucifixion past 3 is what I'm preaching tonight. Remember where we pick our text from, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Jesus Christ had resurrected and was showing himself to his disciples. But when he came and showed himself to his disciples, there was one disciple that was not around. What's his name? Thomas, verse 24. John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the disciples called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas. Brother Thomas. Pastor Thomas. Apostle Thomas. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we try to look at it. I pick my inspiration from there. That I believe, if you notice, Jesus did not rebuke him. And even if Jesus rebuked him, amen, even if he didn't rebuke him, he only commended those who will not see and yet believe. I was referring to us. But let me tell you that I love what Thomas did. If you say you saw him, then he too is entitled to see him. This is a man that died. And buried. All of us together, we forgot. We say, well, we don't understand what is happening. The man don't die, go. Then news is going around. They say he is alive. So the other disciples say, we saw him. So he too, he's saying, me too. Before I believe, I must see the nails, because I saw how they crucified him. The wound should be there. Amen. And of course, you know that after he revealed and showed Thomas his hand and his side, Thomas saw it, said, this is real. He fell down immediately and worshipped him. There are some of us that our faith is just based on another person's testimony, not on your personal experience with God. Now that type of Christian, you don't progress in your Christian faith. Very little thing will shake you off. But when you meet with Christ and you have seen his reality, and with the evidence that you have seen him, that this Jesus, whether they talk, is real, the way you relate with him will be different from those who just hear, they read them for Bible, then born them for the family, everybody they go to church. Which one you they go? I be Christian. Which one you they day? I be Catholic. Those ones, their type of Christianity is different. But that is not even the area I am going, which is very instructive though. But the area I am emphasizing is that for him to believe that is Jesus, there must be evidence. There must be evidence. You know, I remember the story that William Branham said. I think I gave that story here several times. You know, in India, if you talk about people who discuss with demons, they see spirits, they talk with them. They know the reality of powers is in India. And then Billy Graham, years back, in the days of the spread of revival, he took off, for God so loved the world, the whole world must evangelize. You know, he's a very good evangelist. For God so loved the world. And when he's talking, people will be crying to give their life to Christ. He went to India, and the Indians came to meet him. You are a follower of Jesus? That's your leader. Say yes. Your leader said, those who believe in me, that the works that I do, they shall do also. He said, and greater works shall they do. He said, your leader, he restored blind. The lame walked. And you say you are the follower. Say, oh yeah, sick case is here. Oh, it's practical now. It's practical. You cannot go and be a witness of something you have not experienced. Christianity is not English. Apostle Paul said, did not come with the enticing words of wisdom of man, but I come with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said that the gospel is not in words, but in what? Power. Well, the story says Billy Graham was so ashamed that he packed and ended the crusade and went back to America shamefully. William Branham had it and was rebuking Billy Graham. He said, if not for what Christianity is, he should have also shown him other scriptures that everybody has his part. Wait, let me bring my brother. Then he would have invited William Branham to join him in the crusade. So William Branham decided to visit that same India. Hallelujah. Who is greater than Jehovah, Lord Divine? This Bible is true. This Bible is true. I went to preach in a church on, is it Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday. I was telling them, I came to preach to them, minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost to them. And I told them that I don't preach what I have not confirmed. When I tell you that Jesus heals, it is because I have confirmed it. Amen. And when the Bible says Jesus is the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, I have seen God give people Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This God is practical. If you cannot prove your God physically for everybody to see, you are not fit to be a preacher. Everybody be a preacher. Amen. Praise the Lord. William Branham reached there. And then when he landed, he said, bring your worst cases out. And the first one they brought was a blind man. And he got blind from worshipping his own God, the sun God. Every time they open eye, they make invocation and incantation, they raise from the sun, blinding. Ah, which God is that will suffer you like that? So William Branham started with him. Your own God blinding you. If my own God restore your sight, will you serve my God? Hey. The man said, my eye to be restored? Of course. And he just looked at him. Father, that they will know that you sent your son and that salvation comes only through him. And you said, this son shall follow them that believe. This is one case here now. He said, while William Branham was still praying, scales were falling off the eyes. Scales were falling off. And the man jumped up and, you know, fell down. His feet held his leg. I can see. And right there, gave his life to Christ. They brought the other ones. Some, there was one, according to the testimony, that since birth, a certain infirmity that made him to be walking like a monkey, you know, bent and walk with his hand and leg for years. Right there, the power of God came, and that man stood up, and there was revival. Hundreds of thousands of Indians gave their life to Christ that day. Practical. Thomas said, give me the evidence that you resurrected. Now, where we are going is that same Jesus Christ in the Bible. He says, if a man will follow me, let him pick his cross and follow me. So, me too, like Thomas, I can ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? You will say, yes. How many followers of Jesus here? Can I see you? How many? Oh, you should be proud. You should be proud. Good. God bless you. But before I believe you, I will ask you, where is your cross? That is what we have been talking about. Where is your cross? The evidence of crucifixion is the cross. we are talking about. Praise the Lord. And in the other sermons parts that we talked, we looked at the fact that there are two crucifixions for every believer. You are to crucify the old man, according to the Bible, and also you are to crucify the new man. The old man will be crucified, and the new man will be crucified also. Praise the Lord. And we showed so many examples concerning the new man, Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. He said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. He said, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. In his body, amen. And every Christian, there must be a mark of the Lord Jesus on you. And the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ also can come in two ways. The first one, it will come by chastisement. Whom he loves, he chasteneth. When you become a Christian, you walk with God, expect chastisement. When you misbehave, he will deal with you. And I proved it in several ways in those earlier messages. The second one is through persecutions. And Apostle Paul had the marks of Christ on him. One was when he met with Christ. There was something at that point that he met with Christ. On his way to Damascus, when that pillar of light, that fire struck him, it affected his eyes. And, you know, he had problem with his sight. That is the thorn in his flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the thorn in his flesh. The Apostle Paul said, he besought the Lord thrice. He called it, he said, the thorn in my flesh, he said, the messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. That lets you know that thing must have been very painful to him. But God refused to take it away. Why did God refuse to take it away? It was a reminder of him, of the day he met the Lord. It will remain on him. It was a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. That mark is to remind him of the day he met the Lord. And everyone that has met the Lord, there is always something that happened that day that you will always remember. If not, you're only a religious person. You change church. You change from Islam. Begin go to from mosque to church. You change from Catholic to Methodist. Then from Methodist to Redeem. Then after again from Redeem now, you go choose it. Then they say one church there behind here. You might move from choosing, come here. That's all. There are people that move from church to church, church to church. They are busy looking for church instead of looking for Christ. And church, listen, you don't go to church to look for Christ. Christ is not in any church. Hey! Christ is not in any church. There is nowhere. Don't let any pastor tell you, come to my church and I will give you Christ. Lie. Where is Christ? He is standing at the door. Which door? Of your heart. You receive him wherever you have made up your mind to receive him. And it can be your bedroom. He can be in your office. He can be in the bus you are traveling. I mean, anywhere. And it's not far. Don't travel far to look for Christ. He's standing at the door of your heart. If you open, he will enter. So it's not church. It's not about church. Blessed be the name of the Lord.